Welcome to episode 204 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
Yeah, I'm Phil Barton.
We have some of those link things you can use to find out more information about today's topic. You can find those along with the other episodes by going to thelabwithbrad.com.
Click.
Click?
Click.
Oh, yeah, that's what you do on links. I thought you were talking like something that was on the audio. Don't scare me like that.
No, I'm sorry. I heard something about laser mouse brains.
No, you get the notes in reverse order because I'm like arrowing up to find. Never mind. They don't need to know that.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about the brain.
Okay.
Some more and some stuff about how we figure out what the brain is and what it does and all of that joy.
Squishy.
I don't know. I don't think we've bantered enough. We're just going to launch into the subject. I'm not used to this.
I don't want to have any banter. I mean, today is my uninteresting day.
All right. Do you remember the time you almost drowned?
Yes.
You do?
I heard all about it.
That happened on that day. We're at some lake, and there were a couple of steps that went into the water. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting on the far right of those steps, minding my own business, when a baby hit my leg.
Okay.
From under the water. Apparently you'd gone submarine.
That's the place. I don't know. It's water, right? You're supposed to go under it. It's neat down there. There's like fish. I don't know.
There's like fish. Yeah. As I recall, you were sitting with me and Mom, mm-hmm. and then you were in the water. There didn't seem to be a splash or any kind of transition.
Just kind of slip. Ooh, neat. That's been a baby hit me.
Mom quickly pounced on you and yanked you out of the water. I can't remember for the life of me whether or not you cried. If you did, it wasn't when you first got yanked out. You looked interested. sort of intrigued by what had just happened.
Oh, yeah. Well, babies, they're all little engineers, you know, testing the world.
Yes, and if I do this, Mom freaks out.
Something interesting just happened. I couldn't breathe for a while, and then there was a leg. Yeah.
Right. Something else I found on the far right, just past the edge of those stairs, in the lake water, other than my submarine brother. I found a pretty rock.
Oh.
I think it was really pretty. There was these greens and sort of dark reds in streaks. Oh. And, this rock wasn't any bigger than, you know, it could fit in the palm of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And my hand wasn't all that big at the time. But there's this one part that was kind of smooth and domey. Okay. And that was this beautiful, iridescent blue color.
This is neat. I mean, is it a rock or is it glass?
It was a rock. Because I grabbed it. Anything that pretty is coming home with me.
I'm sorry, I just thought of bar scenes. Anyways.
No. Not where I was going with that. Anything that... Oh, Lord, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, let's just stop
that
right there. The rock. Much like a bar scene, it got home with me and turned out to be dull and gray.
What you need to do is dip it in water.
I tried that, actually. What I got was a dull and gray wet rock. The colors were gone. Hmm. Now, it's probable that those colors were from bacteria or fungus or maybe some kind of algae.
Oh.
And that while it was sitting there drying out, all those critters that made it pretty died.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever chemicals they'd been excreting would react with the oxygen in the air and the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
And all that pretty color is gone.
Well,
I don't know for sure, man. I'd have to collect a sample.
Yeah, it was so long ago. Well, I gotta imagine you put it in your pocket as well.
To be certain, I would need a microscope. We have records of people playing around with lenses and optics that go back for 3,000 or 4,000 years. But they weren't really used for magnification until around the 1200s, when eyeglasses became widely available.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, widely is a comparative term. these are made by individual craftsmen and rather expensive.
With tiny hammers and chisels.
Yeah, because that's how you work with glass, right?
I don't know. Rocks, microscope. Where is the brain?
Where's
the...
You're so impatient.
I'm sorry.
Right. And I've totally lost my place. 1,200 eyeglasses, right? It wasn't until the 1600s that they started making compound microscopes. Use two or more lenses.
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of competitors for who actually invented it. In around 1610, Galileo Galilei had messed around with the same lenses he used for his telescope and noticed that he could close focus on very small objects and get them a magnified view of them. Apparently, his telescope is just a couple of lenses on either end of a board, you know, a foot, maybe a couple of feet apart. To focus on something like a fly, the lenses had to be near, like, 6 feet apart.
Oof.
So it was getting a little unwieldy. But eventually, people figured out that you could make it do the same thing with smaller lenses closer together.
They have to change the curvature? Well, anyways, good for people.
Good for people. Oh, you don't tempt me to go off on optics, because we'll end up talking about virtual images and real images and all sorts of interesting stuff I found out about. All right, so I've got a nice magnified view of this blue stuff that I've supposedly scraped off of this rock from, like, 20, 30 years ago. Even if I had that and put it on the slide and took a look at it, I might not be able to see the critters. I'd be looking for something blue on a blue background.
Oh, yeah.
So what we can do is throw different chemicals at it.
Okay.
Staining.
Food coloring. Yes.
Food coloring. Yeah, well, different chemicals at it. So that there's some contrast between the things we want to look at and the rest of the slide. Now, you took Biology 101?
Yes, I did. And we definitely threw some chemical in there to stain. I think we were looking at plant cells. And we were trying to see the cell wall and the cell membrane.
Right.
After we added some stuff to make the cell inside the wall shrink. And then, but to be able to see it, you needed to add something else to be able to stain the cell membrane inside the wall. So you could see that, yes, it did shrink. I don't remember what it was.
Well, there are a lot of different stains. The brain turned out to be resistant to staining. Not resistant to staining. They could not find a decent stain for the brain.
Stain for the brain.
Now, okay. My computer pronounces his name Golgi.
Interesting.
Between 1873 and 1890, found that he could stain neurons with a silver-based chemical.
Oh.
Might be why it took so long, you know. The brain has to be stained with silver.
Yeah, it's all expensive.
This turns out to give you some of the neurons, more or less at random, in the patch you threw the chemical at, stained a nice dark black on a yellow background.
Cool.
So now they can finally start to trace out these long axons and these funny, stubby, little twisty dendrite thingies.
Well, that's what it looks like.
Golgi continued his work and came up with some variations on his stains. It wasn't just a stain. It was also a way to fix the brain. Not fix it, put a fixative on it so it doesn't get too squishy while you're trying to work with it. So you've got various chemicals you can throw at various cells and they will react differently with those cells. Another thing you can do, an issue you have to deal with, is the lighting.
Okay.
It's color and light. They found that certain of these stains are shiniest under certain wavelengths of light.
Hmm.
Actually, they start to use fluorescence.
Hmm.
These are chemicals that will absorb one wavelength of light and then emit a different, usually longer wavelength of light.
Okay.
And sometimes they shine the light to illuminate the sample right through the telescope, the microscope.
Okay.
And look for the shiny bits.
What are we, crows? Anyway.
Yes.
Ca-ca! Ooh, shiny.
This has actually gotten fairly sophisticated. They started doing things like attaching molecules of something fluorescent to antibodies.
Oh, neat.
Who would then go and find specific proteins on specific cells. And that's not fun enough. And this is where we don't take too long a side trip into genetics. They have engineered cells of particular types to make the dye for them.
Oh, okay.
Yes, there's no staining involved. It just does it all by itself. Usually one of these shiny chemicals.
They got tired of messing with the stains. Okay.
And starting just after the year 2000, 2002, 2004, somebody thought, well, we can shine this light and see the sparkly bits. But what if we can shine a light on something and make it do something for us?
Weird.
So they developed a technique where they can insert ion channels into neurons that react to light.
Okay, weird.
Yes. They also discovered some chemicals that will be shinier at different levels of voltage. So they, by watching the light wavelengths that are coming off and shooting very precise wavelengths at the material, they can both watch activity in real time with millisecond resolution,
Eat.
Which is about what our brain runs on.
Mm-hmm.
And they can turn on specific neurons.
Oh, okay. So this is how they did the stimulus as opposed to rods in the head.
As opposed to rods in the head. Oh, mind you, they're doing this with like mice.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure how they get the laser light in there. If it's a fiber optic thing, or do they glue like LEDs on the inside of the skull? Because the experiments I'm reading about where they're doing this sort of thing, they're talking about tagging cells involved in encoding memories and activating them later and even modifying the memories. And this is all happening in live animals. Because, you know, dead ones don't play back memories very often.
Yeah, I know. Science fiction.
And yeah, it all started with staining, with light and color and cells.
So this is all to see the inner workings of not just the brain, but the neuron itself.
With the neuron itself, yeah. They could get down to identifying little organelles inside the cell.
Mm-hmm.
And watching where various substances flow, there are a lot more tools involved in this whole suite than I was aware of.
Huh.
Anyway, that's a little bit about microscopes and staining and so forth. And we will talk about some other methods next time, and we'll see you then.
Okay, bye.
I was not expecting the end of the episode.